We're reminded that we're in this season of transformation, of finding life in the midst of death and hope in the midst of despair. And we're focusing on the care of creation. And I invited you a couple of weeks ago to spend this time cultivating awe and wonder for creation. So the week before last, I spent the week in Florida. And I was at a conference center, and I was surrounded by just the beautiful lushness of the tropics. And as I would sit still each morning outside, I would hear the beautiful bird song and be able to spot the birds flittering in the trees and appreciate the blooms of the plants that were unfamiliar. And then I came home and my yard had exploded, like in a week, literally exploded into bloom. I mean, some plants grew 2 feet. I mean, it's amazing just the lushness. And we see how much the plants are responding to the rain that we received this year. We walk down the sidewalks and we smell the fragrant scents. And it's a blessing. And as I cultivate this sense of wonder and awe, it draws me deeper into the appreciation of this amazing web of life within which we are all caught up. And then Friday night, I had a wonderful opportunity. I was at the Marin Center in San Rafael with about 500 of my closest friends. We all had gathered to sing kirtan. Kirtan is a sacred ancient practice where you gather and you sing and you chant prayers of devotion to God. It's a way of calling and crying across the infinite space and reaching deep into your heart to touch and be touched by that deep yearning to know the divine presence of God. And as we neared the close of the evening, we were all invited to sing a chant that was based on Jesus' last words. And the chant went like this. It was, "Into your hands I lay my spirit. Into your hands. Into your hands I lay my life. Into your hands." And we began singing this. And when you sing kirtan, what happens is the harmony all syncs up. And it's like you're breathing one breath. And you're praying one prayer. And we began by singing the words of Jesus to God. And we morphed into singing to God ourselves. Our deep yielding and our deep surrender. But as the chant continued over a period of time, what I began to realize was we not only were singing that chant to God, but we were singing it to each other. And it was just this amazing moment of realizing, whether we like it or not, how deeply interconnected we all are. And how we really do lay our hands in the life of others. And we hold the life of others in our hands. We are part of an amazing, beautiful, cosmic web of life. We have been blessed with this rich biodiversity where everything plays a role. Everything is needed in order for the entire system to maintain its health. It's a web of interdependence, and everything that we do affects everything and everybody else. I'm sure you've seen the exercise you do with kids where you throw the yarn across and you get it all like spread out in a web, and if one person tugs on it, everybody else feels it, right? So that's the image. Except make it bigger. Send it out to the stars and down to the finest, smallest bacteria and microorganism. That's the web that we're caught up in. And so in the Old Testament reading that we heard today, we're hearing God talk about what happens when we don't honor those relationships with each other and with creation. When we break the covenant that we're called into. The earth dies up and withers. The world languishes and withers. The heavens languish together with the earth. The earth lies polluted under its inhabitants. For they have transgressed the laws and violated the statutes and broken the everlasting covenant. And therefore, a curse devours the earth. Therefore, inhabitants of the earth dwindle, and few people are left. It's an amazing fulfillment of that prophecy in the report that came out last week from the United Nations. Last week, after a review of over 15,000 scientific and government sources by 145 experts from 50 countries, the UN Task Force released a global assessment report on biodiversity and ecosystem services, ecosystems. And this landmark global assessment warns that 1 million species may be pushed to extinction in the next few years, with serious consequences for human beings as well as the rest of the life on the earth. And they ranked the major drivers of species decline as land conversion, including desertification, deforestation, overfishing, hunting and poaching, climate change, pollution, and invasive alien species. And after this report came out, and it was a 40-page summary of, I think, a 1,500-page report that will be released next month. After this report came out, it was talked about quite a bit on the news, and there was lots of commentators commenting on it, and they brought in environmentalists and scientists from all over the world. And the clear message is transformation is urgently needed now. Transformation is urgently needed now, and yet they all agreed that if we were to act collectively as a global community, it's not too late. Next month might be too late, but it's not too late. But we need to act. We need to be able to put aside our little stories and live into the human story, the story of the cosmos. The bottom line is the things that we do matter. Our actions and our lifestyle choices have far-reaching consequences. Consequences we may not even know about or understand. And we cannot claim to love our neighbor if we do not do everything we can to protect and sustain and restore this fragile planet that we call home. Pope Francis has become a huge advocate for Mother Earth. Pope Francis is known for saying that we must listen to the cry of the poor and the cry of the earth because they are inextricably bound together. In 2015, he released a papal encyclical, Laudato Si, which is perhaps one of the most important encyclicals released in our lifetime. Laudato Si, on care of our common home. It is deeply grounded in science and spirituality and theology. And it lays out for all of us the ethical and moral implications of climate change and eco-justice. It connects the well-being of the earth to the well-being of individuals and the human communities, and it focuses particularly on those on the margins, the women, the children, the people from impoverished countries who are disproportionately affected by the environmental degradation because of economies and their race and their gender and their age. But most of all, what we find in this encyclical, Pope Francis says, this is all about our relationships with each other and the earth. The title is drawn from the first line of St. Francis' Canticle. And I'd like to read to you the first paragraph. Laudato si, mi signore. Praise be to you, my Lord. In the words of this beautiful canticle, St. Francis of Assisi reminds us that our common home is like a sister with whom we share our life, and a beautiful mother who opens her arms to embrace us. Praise be to you, my Lord, through our sister, Mother Earth, who sustains and governs us, who produces various fruit with colored flowers and herbs. This sister now cries out to us because of the harm we have inflicted on her by our irresponsible use and abuse of the goods with which God has endowed her. We have come to see ourselves as her lords and masters, entitled to plunder her at will. The violence present in our hearts, wounded by sin, is also reflected in the symptoms of sickness evident in the soil, in the water, in the air, and in all forms of life. This is why the earth herself, burdened and laid waste, is among the most abandoned and maltreated of our poor. She groans in travail. We have forgotten that we ourselves are dust of the earth. Our very bodies are made up of the elements. We breathe her air, and we receive life and refreshment from her waters. Pope Francis urges humanity to take care of Earth, to become more conscious of our common home, and to understand that when we harm the environment, we're damaging our relationship with other humans, particularly those least equipped to defend themselves, the poor and the future generations. He urges us to remember our interconnectedness with the earth and with those around and ahead of us who depend on our good stewardship of the gift of creation. The key takeaways from this encyclical include: loving our neighbors and caring for creation are inextricably intertwined. The poor are disproportionately affected by climate change. Less is more. Less is more. Indifference and selfishness worsen environmental problems. Everything is connected, including the economy. Ecological problems are social problems. Social problems are economic problems. Economic problems are cultural problems. Cultural problems are ecological problems. They cannot be separated out, and they require an integrated solution. Global dialogue and solidarity are sorely needed. A change of heart is required. We can no longer afford to be driven solely by convenience, comfort, security, and profit. People and place must begin to take precedent in our decision-making and in our values. The encyclical does not pull any punches. It names it as it is. It calls for a bold cultural revolution in our attitude towards development and progress. It puts it rather bluntly: nobody is suggesting a return to the Stone Age, but we do need to slow down and look at reality in a different way. We need to appropriate the positive and sustainable progress which has been made, but also to recover the values and the great goals swept away by our unrestrained illusions of grandeur. Pope Francis calls on individuals and families and communities to make a difference in small but tangible ways, inviting us to regain the conviction that we need one another and that we have a shared responsibility for others and the world, and that being good and decent are worth it. The authors in the UN report admonish us to make specific changes, and the top of the list is to reduce meat consumption, not eliminate it, but to reduce it, to reduce luxury consumption, to the use of single-use plastics, to eliminate reliance on fossil fuels, and to end environmentally damaging subsidies, to stop cutting down trees in tropical countries, and to get used to living more simply in a limited growth economy. There are many specific actions each one of us can take that will make a difference. There are many specific actions that each one of us should take because they are the right things to do. As Pope Francis concludes his encyclical, he says, "In the meantime, we come together. We come together to take charge of this home which has been entrusted to us. In union with all creatures, we journey through this land seeking God. Let us sing as we go. May our struggles and our concern for this planet never take away the joy of our hope. God, who calls us to generous commitment, offers us the light and the strength needed to continue on our way. In the heart of this world, the Lord of life, who loves us so much, is always present. He does not abandon us. He does not leave us alone, for he has united himself definitively to our earth, and his love constantly impels us to find new ways forward. Praise be to him." God is always about to do a big thing, always about to do a new thing. The invitation to us is, do we want to be part of it? Joanna Macy, who is a renowned Buddhist teacher, an environmental activist, and a teacher and student of open systems, says there are three stories. There is the story of business as usual, where we continue to consume, obey, and be quiet. There is the story of the great unraveling, where we look at the destruction happening around us and move to hopelessness. And then there is the story of the great turning. And every faith tradition tells the story of the great turning, where the darkness descends, until the people of the light have no choice but to shine their light brighter, to begin to act in ways that shifts the consciousness and moves us into a new world, a new creation, into the time of shalom, into the fulfillment of the scriptures. They will hunger no more and thirst no more. The sun will not strike them down, nor any scorching heat, for the Lamb at the center of the throne will be their shepherd, and he will guide them to the springs of the water of life, and God will wipe away every tear from their eyes. Steadfast love and faithfulness will meet. Righteousness and peace will kiss each other. This is our story. This is the story we choose. The world is about to turn. Listen. God sings to us, "Into your hands I lay my spirit." And we sing back, "Into your hands I lay my life." "Into your hands I lay my spirit," echoes the earth, and we reply, "Into your hands I lay my life." I want to be part of the great evolution in consciousness born out of compassion and an embrace of our radical interdependence. I want to pour forth love and healing and light into the sacred web that connects all of life in this beautiful cosmos. I want to embrace my role as an image bearer of God, as a love bearer, as an earth keeper, for the sake of your brothers and your sisters across the world, for the sake of future generations, for the sake of Mother Earth, I invite you to join me, because with God's help, we will. With God's help, we can.